Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So this is a news story that was trending like 10 days ago, Raven. But you know when you hear something in the news and then for some reason you become obsessed with it?
Yeah.
All right, so on Long Island, there was a sinkhole. Here's the news report.
A sinkhole opens up on Long Island, and a homeowner ends up right at the bottom of it.
It was a terrifying wake-up call for some residents in Huntington Station after falling into that sinkhole. Ring video captures this moment that a woman was walking down the steps outside her house when all of a sudden she just disappears from view.
Falling into a sinkhole measuring 6 feet wide and 6 feet deep.
When you see the video of this, Raven, yeah, it is so disturbing because she's there, then she's not. And then from the hole, she calls all her friends and family, and everybody comes, and more people fall in the hole.
That's the thing about a sinkhole, man. It just sucks you right in. But you know what? God bless the Ring camera. You know, you could turn over the footage to the police if you have an Amazon package or something like that disappear. Do they catch them? Normally not. You know, the people that are trying to steal your car in the driveway, they'll just wave to it as they run away. But for moments like this, it is absolutely perfect.
Right. So the top states with the highest number of sinkhole formations.
Go.
Alabama, okay. Florida, mm-hmm. Texas, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. I find this terrifying that you could just be walking down the street and whoop, the earth just ate you.
Yeah, it's funny to me. I always thought of it as being like a warm climate type thing, right? Like I figured it in places where the soil was a little bit less solid, reclaimed land where it's more like sand and clay or whatever. But you're right, it's crazy. Here's the thing, I'm a fixer, right? So I immediately think, what would I do? And the problem is that you're walking to your mailbox in your robe. It's not like you have like any tools with you or rope or anything like that. One minute you're, you know, like you said, walking across your lawn, and the next you're 10 feet down.
Right. And I had a sinkhole one time. It wasn't a sinkhole. But I had I lived in a condo complex and you had assigned parking spots.
Okay.
And the middle of my parking spot, a hole appeared. It was just like a hole. And I called the HOA and I was like, hey, guys, like there's a hole in the middle of my parking spot. And it went down like maybe like a foot and a half or something.
I mean, that's a deep hole in the middle of a parking lot to just open up.
Do you know that nobody did anything about it?
Oh, perfect.
And I refused to like park in my spot. And they were like, well, you know, we'll get to it. I'm like, nobody seems concerned that there's these massive vehicles. I don't know how much cars weigh, but I'm assuming it's a significant amount.
It's a lot.
They park in left of me and the right of me. But no one thinks it's weird that there's just a hole in the middle of my spot in the middle.
It's strange, right?
Isn't that weird?
It just opens up with no warning whatsoever.
And this was like asphalt in the middle of a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you want something to be terrified about that sticks in your mind for 10 days, think about a sinkhole.
Consider walking around with a grappling hook.
Valentine's Day coming up early next week. And if you're anything like me, you haven't bought a single thing yet for your significant other. So everyone's always looking for the perfect gift. But maybe we should focus on the gifts that you're not supposed to give.
Okay, that would make sense. I love the fact that you kind of get a pass. I mean, I feel like wives and girlfriends, they kind of get a little pass on this. Guys, we're going to be ridiculed a little bit tougher on this one. So you really got to pay attention.
Karen Thomas is an etiquette expert. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, you know, everyone always says flowers, chocolates, but what are the things you should never give?
Okay, so if you are a married couple, never buy your significant other an appliance that does not indicate love, romance, anything at all. Never buy an item for your spouse that you want.
Hold on, hold on. Wait a second, Karen. But what if they want it and they ask for it? Like, if my husband's been saying, go to Home Depot and buy me this leaf blower, and like over and over, should I just do it? Is that like because it's a hint and it was a direct like thing that I wanted?
Well, I would do that for a different occasion, but not Valentine's Day.
You know, I mean, I have to tell you that I completely understand what you're saying, Anna, is because, you know, once you're a couple for a long time, you're cohabitating and whatnot. You know, we go to Costco together or whatever. We look upon these things with a glaze in our eyes and go, that would be fun to have something like that or whatever. And then, you know, practically speaking, you kind of also know what the finances are in the house. So you're like, if you're going to spend some money, have it be on something like this. But what you're saying is, you can get that thing. You got to get something extra on top of it. It's got to be thoughtful and romantic.
Exactly. And again, let's remember the premise is it's Valentine's Day. So a little bit of romance. Don't just buy a random appliance or a random item. Maybe you really need and your spouse doesn't, and then call it a gift.
All right. So sorry, babe, no leaf blower, but don't worry. Your birthday's coming up in September. What else?
There
never
you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something just like a mundane thing. Let's not just say, hey, let's just go to the movies tonight, or let's just do something random. How about make it an outing? Put a little thought and effort into it. And again, going back to the romance, maybe you make it like, you know, you go out and do an adventure together, maybe a wine tasting or a distillery or something. It doesn't even have to have alcohol, but something that you want to do together.
My wife always tells me the secret, the first step is light a candle.
Oh, really?
I miss that all the time as a guy.
Wait, physically light a candle?
Right. She's like, it's all about, again, that thought process. She's like, so if you light a candle, she's like, you sat a little bit of a scene or whatever. She's like, I know you at least had to think about it. You just didn't walk into a store or pick something up online and just purchase it.
Going hand in hand with that, I always feel like I'm the planner in the house.
Yes.
So anytime we're going out with friends, anytime we're doing anything as a family, anything we're doing anything as a couple, I plan it.
Right.
So anytime that he plans something, even if it's easy as like he made the reservations, it feels like a treat and it feels special because it's one less thing I had to do, you know?
How often does it measure up?
Well, let's see. It's happened 3 times in the last 18 years. So, all right. Any other tips, Karen? Things not to get for Valentine's Day for your significant other?
Never buy body shapewear. And just make sure that you just put a little bit of thought into it. And I think your Valentine's Day will be very romantic and fabulous.
I want you to imagine my face, Raven, as I open up this box that he wrapped. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I pull out a full body Spanx outfit. And I'm going to be like, wait a minute. I already own this in 3 different colors. And now I have another one, you know?
I was going to say, I mean, yeah. I didn't know how many were in the inventory, but that's a gift that you might be like, all right, you checked that box.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. You're the best.
Karen Thomas, you can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Thank you, Karen.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Call it observations, call it group therapy, whatever you got to do. Just get things off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Sarah.
Yeah, I'd say if you're doing 50 miles per hour out of the neighborhood and your neighbors need to kind of dive out of the way to avoid getting killed, that's all I need to know about you.
Mm.
It's not one of my neighbors, it's one of their kids. But I mean, listen, he's a grown man, so I'm just going to call you out. White Audi, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he used to slow down when he would see me out there walking the dogs because I would give him a disapproving look. Like, and at this point, like I'm a grown-up, you're a grown-up. I've been living in the neighborhood for like 6 years. I shouldn't have to keep doing that. Plus, you're 6 years older than you were when you started that terrible behavior. So slow down. He's the worst one in the family. His mom is pretty bad, too. The dad, he goes slow through the neighborhood. The daughter, no problem. This guy, he's like trying to set a land speed record.
Pete, that's all I need to know about you.
If your mom still has to make all your doctor's appointments, that's all I need to know about you. I have a friend, you know, his mom still makes all of his doctor's appointments.
How old is he?
Like 36 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the college kids I could kind of understand, you know. I feel like they're running around, they're doing whatever. If you don't make the appointments, they're not going to make them, right? They're not going to go see the dentist or this, that, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at 36, you should make your own physical appointment. You should make your own, you know, dentist appointments. I mean, when you're standing there, when you're at the appointment, they give you the next appointment. Just put it in your phone right then.
I make appointments for my husband. Like, I don't know if he knows how to do that.
Wow. My wife doesn't make mine, but I mean, I'm sure he could figure it out.
I'm sure he could. It falls under, I guess, like my responsibilities. I make all the kids' appointments. I make his appointments. I guess make everybody's appointments.
I guess. Jacob, that's all I need to know about you. What do you got?
Oh, someone that helps themselves to a cup of coffee before the pot is done brewing.
Oh.
I used to do that here all the time before we had the K-Cups and the Keurig.
Yeah, doesn't it just make a mess? Like, I mean, it's still brewing.
No, here's what I do. Here's what I do. And then you tell me if I'm wrong. I take a cup
And you just hold it above it.
I know. I hold it underneath and I let it fill up my cup. Or I remove the coffee pot if I'm in a real rush.
Yeah.
And I put a cup where it's coming out to capture what's coming down. And I pour myself a cup and then I quickly remove over.
I mean, I'm not a barista, Jacob. Doesn't that affect the taste?
Yeah. You can at least do that.
I mean, I think it affects the taste of the whole pot.
Well, exactly. Mm. And Anna, coming from someone that works in restaurants, like I did for a couple of decades, I rumor is the strongest part comes out first, and it does ruin the whole taste.
See?
No, I mean,
that's what I thought. That makes sense. That's like science.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I love getting that first bit, that real strong part of coffee. Yeah.
Right.
Who had the dumbest argument over the weekend? Raven, producer John, and producer Sean. Sean, we're going to start with you because you actually recorded your argument with your girlfriend, Rachel. Check this out.
Honestly, why?
I literally went to change my shirt, and I came back, and you turned off the light.
It was been like 5 minutes. You don't need to leave the light on for 5 minutes if you're not in the bathroom. Don't close the door on me.
What happened?
This is a daily struggle for me and this woman here. I'm always yelling at her for leaving lights on in the house. And she's always like, well, I was going back in. And like half the time she'll turn like the kitchen light on. She won't go in for like another 2 hours. And it's like, why is the light on for 2 hours?
This is a thing for him. He's mentioned this to me before. The electricity, following everybody around.
That's how you know you're an old person.
Yeah, right. He follows them. He's the guy that follows them around the house.
It's so annoying. It's like, you're an adult. I shouldn't have to remind you.
You know what's also annoying? Somebody following you around in your own house.
Turning off the light.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty annoying.
John, do you have any dumb arguments this weekend?
Well, every Saturday at this time of year, I host a Battle of the Bands. If you've never hosted or been a part of the Battle of the Bands, people get very uppity about who should and should not win and what the rules should and should not be. So I spent most of Saturday arguing with drunk adults, full-grown adults in their 50s, about why their band should have won this Battle of the Bands.
And
I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's ignore the fact that I play guitar for 25 years, I'm a radio professional and all those things, but no, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I won't host Battles of the Bands because it's like that at every single battle
single
of the bands.
Time.
Yeah. Every single one of them. Yeah.
Raven, what was your dumb argument over the weekend? Did you have one?
Oh my gosh. It was my 2-year-old niece's birthday party, and so I had to pick up my wife's Uncle Pat, and Uncle Pat has Downs, but Uncle Pat is about three things. He's about the money, he's about the food, and he's about the ladies, all right? And he's very manipulative. You know, people, they don't think, because they talk a little bit different or whatever, they don't think that they're on the up with everything. Uncle Pat is a player, and he plays me. Right now, Uncle Pat is upset because his food has to be cut up pretty small because he's got something going on with one of his teeth, right? So he spent 2 hours arguing with me about why he couldn't have the full-size chicken tenders, even though I spent, you know, 15 minutes cutting them up for him and all that stuff, why his pasta didn't look like my pasta because it was smaller.
I had a dumb argument with my husband and my father, which is the worst position to be in as a daughter and a wife when you're arguing with both your father and your husband at the same time over the same thing.
Nah.
My father, he likes to build houses. He's like his side gig and do his things. He found out that if the neighbor behind us sold us 1,600 square feet of their property, we could subdivide our lot. And I was like, Daddy, I'm not going to go knock on this guy's door and be like, hey, can you sell me 1,600 square feet of your backyard? Like, you know? And then he immediately started, Anna, you're so stupid. I don't understand. Go knock on the guy's door. And then Paul is sick. My husband is sick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Paul, you go knock on the guy's door. I'm never going to hear the end of it if we go knock. And he's like, I can't. I'm sick.
Can't get up,
I
babe.
Can't get up, babe. Blah, blah, blah. So here's me trudging over to the neighbor's house. Hey!
We've never met.
Spoiler alert. He's not going to sell us 1,600 square feet of his backyard. Okay. Let's go around the room and vote. Who had the dumbest argument over the weekend? Raven, who are you voting for?
I mean, probably John's. I mean, you can see it coming down the road. I mean, just because I've been a part of it, I don't know if others will agree, but I'll say that one.
John, dumbest argument of this group. Who is it?
I mean, Sean's arguing with a pregnant woman, so it's stop true. Doing that.
You know what?
Yeah.
I forgot. I changed my vote.
Oh. Yeah.
And you know what? We don't even need your vote, Sean, because I also agree that your argument is the dumbest. Let the pregnant woman leave the light on in the bathroom if she wants it on.
Yeah, I would do that.
Grammys were last night, and there was a lot of things that were trending to go along with it. The night basically surrounded Beyonce, to be truthful. She won 4 Grammys yesterday, which was enough to break the record for the most Grammy wins of all time.
Wow.
But it's funny because Trevor Noah was the host, and he kept talking about Beyonce being there, and everybody was, it was trending, where's Beyonce? Because he kept talking about her being there, but then she really wasn't there.
They'd never show her on camera.
Right. And it's because she was stuck in traffic.
Ah.
And here he is explaining it when she finally shows up.
The queen is officially in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, Beyonce Knowles. I was shocked to find out that traffic could stop you. I thought you traveled through space and time, but I'm glad you could be with us right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, when she missed the first award she won, she missed it. So it was like, it was so ironic, like awkward. Everyone's like kind of just looking around.
Right, wait, waiting for it to come up.
Nope, no, stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
I don't know, you would figure Beyonce would have a way to, like, avoid traffic, but I guess not.
Not everybody wants to fly in a helicopter.
Yeah, and then there was like kind of the sad part. She didn't win Album of the Year for Renaissance. That went to Harry Styles for Harry's House. And this seems familiar. Harry is up there accepting his award, and you hear yelling in the background. Listen closely.
It's a lot of different times in my life. I listened to
and somebody's screaming, Beyonce should have won.
Oh, come on.
Like,
are they going to do this every time Beyonce's up for an award?
It doesn't make sense.
Like, I mean, like, listen, here's the thing. Beyonce, obviously, she's got more Grammys than everybody else. An incredible artist, a generational artist. This album, I haven't been exposed enough to Renaissance. Harry Styles' album has been everywhere.
Yeah.
It's been everywhere.
But it doesn't even matter. Somebody has to win and somebody has to lose.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And Beyonce has plenty of Grammys and she has the most out of everybody in the world.
Yeah.
Lizzo won for Record of the Year and
sense.
She had some kind words too.
And where are you at, Beyonce? My eyes are wet. You changed my life. You sang that gospel medley, and the way you made me feel, I was like, I want to make people feel this way with my music. So thank you so much.
And then Beyonce cried, right?
Mm.
So Beyonce finally actually gets it on the stage after all the traffic and that to accept another one of her awards, and this is who she thanked.
I'd like to thank my parents, my father, my mother, for loving me and pushing me. I'd like to thank my beautiful husband, my beautiful 3 children who are at home watching.
It was nice. It was a nice, normal
It's nice to hear her still get emotional after all the awards that she's won.
Yeah.
And she's deserved all of them. So
the only thing that wasn't kind of surrounding Beyonce on the night yesterday was Madonna. And Madonna gets up there. And she's doing kind of like an intro to Sam Smith and Kim Petra, which FYI, the two of them won like Duo Record of the Year.
Yeah.
And Kim Petra is the first transgender woman to win. So that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But Madonna says this and she looks almost unrecognizable. Like you're looking at her, you're like, I think that's Madonna.
Right. They're saying it is.
Yeah.
And she's dressed like her.
And they're giving her a hard time about what she said, saying it's narcissistic. You tell me if you think it is.
Mm.
I'm here to give thanks to all the rebels out there forging a new path and taking the heat for all of it. You guys need to know, all you troublemakers out there, you need to know that your fearlessness does not go unnoticed. You are seen, you are heard, and most of all, you are appreciated.
I didn't think it was... I understand that she looked unrecognizable, but I didn't think she sounded narcissistic. I think she sounded genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Well, that's what happened at the Grammys. Oh, man. Sometimes guys do things and they think you're being impressed and you're not. Not at all. One of my girlfriends is going through a divorce right now. Small kids at home and she's going into online dating again. And it's scary. You know, like it's hard when you haven't been in the game and now you're trying to do it and you're trying to meet new people. And it's been a long time.
Sure.
But the pictures and the things that she sends me of what guys send her is so unbelievable that you wonder where are these guys from that they think that this would impress a woman.
So I mean, are we talking like catfishing? Like I'm on the beach with the shirt off, I'm
the
ripped
shirt
or whatever.
Off thing. So
the shirt off is a thing.
The shirt off is a thing.
Okay,
and I don't understand. And a lot of the pictures like are normal clothes, but then they'll start talking, and then they'll send like a random shirtless photo or something like that.
Yeah,
and she's like, but why would I want to see that? Like we've had two nice conversations, like normal adults.
Right, and now I'm thirsty.
And now all of a sudden I want a picture of you with no shirt on. Like, that's not a real thing. And, like, we laugh about it because we're like, why would a guy think that a woman wants that texted to her?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm assuming that your girlfriend is, you know, she's older, right? I mean, I'm not going to call her older, but she's our age, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if a guy is older. In our age...
40s.
Listen, if a guy is in his 40s and he's in great shape, it's hard to keep a guy that's a little bit older that's in great shape with his shirt off. Like, it's hard to keep his shirt on, excuse me, because he's just going to show off. Look at the work I'm doing. Look at how much, you know, look at how good I look or whatever. It's something that you know, they're overly proud of.
So.
It doesn't mean that it's good. I'm just saying it, you know, it's kind of like the men, you know, mentality.
We asked on our Facebook page at Ann on Raven, what do guys do that fails to impress?
Yeah.
Let's see. Wrestling with each other. Yeah. Like, why do guys hit each other all the time? Why are you always hitting each other? What are you doing?
I had two guys wrestle at one of my barbecues one time randomly. And the guy, like, there was one guy who just wanted to wrestle. And my other friend's like a jiu-jitsu, like, cage fighting guy. And he's like, dude, I don't want to do that. And the guy just wouldn't let up. He persisted. So my guy held him in like a thing for like a half hour and then he threw up.
What is that?
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I didn't want any of it happening at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We asked around the office too. Oh my God, Melody wrote on our Facebook page, wear cargo pants. Yeah, no. No, you're not hot in your cargo pants. You're not.
Listen.
You're not.
There are utilitarian needs and reasons for cargo pants from time to time. That's all I'm going to say. It's been a long time since I wore any, but there was a time.
We asked around the office, what do guys do that always fails to impress?
Rev their engine. That's the worst. Like, nobody cares that you straight piped your car, you know?
100%. No one cares.
That is true.
It's so true. And then she goes on.
Straight piped.
Like, act like they know things also. You know, that's really funny. When like, they won't know it, but they'll just say it with, like, absolute confidence. They're like, yeah, absolutely. And you're like, well, why are you doing that?
Wow.
I love when I say I don't know something because then it keeps the conversation going. Like, like, oh, did you watch like White Lotus or whatever? I'd be like, no, but like if people are really into it, what do you think? To me, like, I love saying I don't know something.
Sure.
Because then it gets the conversation going.
What if a guy starts to talk to you about what he did with his exhaust pipes?
Hard pass. Hard pass on you, buddy. Jennifer wrote, name dropping people they don't really know. What do guys do that fails to impress? You can call 1-800-330-9999. If you tell me you know Brad Pitt and you think that's going to impress me, it will. But then I immediately expect you to bring me Brad Pitt.
You know? Like, you better be in the next booth. Yeah, honestly, I mean, I don't think name dropping is ever cool, right? I mean, if you guys saw somebody or ran into somebody, like, oh, I know them. You know what I mean? Then that's fine. Then you're saying hello to somebody. That's one thing. But name dropping, again, you're clearly trying to just be impressive.
Yeah, it's like a lot of my friends are doing the online dating now and are single. And I just, the things that guys send them is so shocking to me that guys would think that anybody would be into this, you know? Teresa wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, order for you at a restaurant unless you ask them for their input on what to order. It's so patronizing. I can't even imagine sitting down with the guy that I just met and him trying to order for me. Are you serious, buddy?
Right.
Serious?
We just had, she'll have this. What?
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh.
That does seem crazy.
Well, we asked around our office, what do guys do that fails to impress?
Wear designer clothes. I hate people who think they can buy me off of what they're wearing. It's just terrible.
I will agree, like, dressing too flashy is not attractive, but I will say that a guy that's well-groomed and put together nicely is attractive.
Yeah, some people just really like fashion. If you do it because you genuinely like it, that's fine. If you're trying to be flashy, that's a little bit different.
I always say, look at the shoes. Look at the shoes.
Yeah.
You can tell a lot about a guy by his shoes. 1-800-330-9999. Amy, what do guys do that fails to impress?
Oh, guys wear tank tops, thinking it's like a great look. It doesn't matter what your body looks like. Tank tops, for me, that's a big red flag.
I agree, unless they have incredibly muscular arms. And then I'm going to give that a pass, because then I would like to see them. And you can wear your tank top.
She does
shirt.
Like a meathead.
I do love a meathead every once in a while.
She does, yeah.
Just to look at.
But, you know, the ones who think they're like that, but they're kind of not. Oh, the average looking bodies. Those tank tops are a bad look.
Oh, okay. So we're shaming arms. Dudes now. That's no, what we're I'm doing. We're body shaming people.
If your arms are too skinny, what are you doing in a tank top?
Okay.
Cover those things.
Yeah. Well, if a guy said something similar, we would all give him some stank right now. And we should because it's not nice.
Okay.
Not everybody can be the Rock.
Okay.
All right. The funny thing is, when I was in the best shape of my life, I didn't wear them all that often. Now that I'm older, it's just about heat.
Oh, God.
I'll put that thing on no matter what. I don't care at all.
But it's an undershirt.
No, I'll wear it as the outfit.
If you're wearing a tank top because it's air conditioning for your armpits, you're not wearing it for the right reasons. Let's put it out there. Paula, what do guys do that fails to impress?
Unsolicited photos.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Via text. Via email, disappearing message on Instagram.
Oh.
Like, don't.
You mean like inappropriate photos?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What would ever possess somebody to do that when they're first talking to somebody?
So one of my friends says she was talking to this guy for like, I don't know, a half hour on the phone. Everything was going great. Like, seemed like a really nice, normal guy.
Yeah.
2 hours later, she got a picture.
Show a little patience, buddy.
Patience?
I don't know. Maybe that's his thing of saying, hey, do you like me? I like you. Well, maybe he's skipping steps. He got some nice conversation. He's thinking third base. Well, it's time to move this thing along.
Paula, you're right. It fails to impress. I don't know what guys are thinking when they do that kind of stuff. I don't. It
seems crazy.
What do guys do that always fails to impress? And whenever they do it, you're like, what are you thinking? Yeah. We asked around the office.
Probably when they flex, like when men will flex on purpose.
It is true. Like, there's no time in your world where it makes sense to just flex your muscles unless you're in a bodybuilding competition.
I mean, I'll just say any like feats of strength. If you're not moving a piece of furniture, right? If you're not saving somebody or lifting them up on top of something when somebody needs a boost or something like that, what are you doing? Like, there's a place for working out. You go work out where you work. If somebody's watching your workout, that's one thing. That's different, right? But, I mean, if you're just walking around doing feats of strength, what are you doing? Like, what's happening?
Tracy wrote on our Facebook page with Anna and Raven, when guys wear skinny jeans, it fails to impress. I don't like skinny jeans on guys either.
Yeah.
I think it's weird. I don't know. I don't like it on girls. I don't like skinny jeans on anybody, to be honest.
Skinny jeans are the super skinny jeans, right? Like, it looks painful almost.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, that's weird.
They're a little bit out of fashion now. I'm not sad to see those go. 1-800-330-9999. Nancy, what do guys do that fails to impress?
Not only does it impress me, but I think it is so obnoxious when guys mansplain stuff to you.
Well, Anna was just talking about how much she loves to say, I don't know about something, so that people will continue talking. And I feel like that will just open the door for that.
Right, but you don't have to explain it to me like I'm an idiot. you can have a normal conversation. And then the guy wearing the tight pants kicks the ball through the two big white poles.
Yes, like, get right.
Yeah,
they're yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. What's even
worse is like when my adult children's male friends try to mansplain it to me at over 60 years old. I'm like, okay, been there, done that. Stop.
Dana, what do guys do to try to impress, but it fails every time?
So I think one of the things is them driving really fast. Like the guys who do that, like the blast of music will drive really fast and they just think they're like the coolest thing. And it's just not. It's unsafe. And to me, safety is sexy, not driving fast.
I never understand why guys drive fast. Like, they have to be doing it for themselves because they're certainly not doing it to impress anybody else in the car. You're just terrifying everybody.
I don't know, though. When you're younger, you got the sports car or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you drive fast because you think you look cool.
You think
it is cool.
And you look over the passenger seat and they're white knuckle. You think that's hot?
Yeah.
I drive fast
because I'm late. But I drive it, you know, one lane. I'm not doing all that nonsense. You know what I mean? This ain't Fast and the Furious.
And what would Alicia say if you were driving super fast?
No, she's like 90 anyway. She drives fast when it suits her. But when she's in the car with me, she complains the entire time. It's like on Golden Pond or something. It's ridiculous.
Diana, what do guys do that fails to impress?
When they talk about how much money they make.
Oh, yeah. That's a big no-no. I mean, anybody, you shouldn't be talking about how much money you make. With pretty much anybody, right? You know, if you're having that discussion with your close friends or whatever, I guess. But it all feels weird, every bit of it.
I just think that if you actually make good money, you're not talking about it.
Right.
Right? Like, right. If you're bragging about it, I would question that.
Right. It's on the line how much money you're making and how good it actually is. Right. And then when you're talking to somebody about it, don't you have to think to yourself after, well, they're there for my money?
I don't know. There's something very strange about it because, like, why is it so taboo to talk about it? Mm. Like, it's, you know, like how much money you make, all that. There's like a big movement where people should be more transparent.
Right, right. That's what I was going to say. A lot of people nowadays, right, they feel like they should all talk about it, would make everybody more money.
But when a guy is doing it to try to impress you, it feels yucky. It does. And it feels very disingenuous. This has been trending all over the news over the last week or so.
Life Group believes someone died, a domesticated pigeon, Pink, and then left it to fend for itself in the Flatiron District.
Our first-hand reaction is like, why would someone do this to this animal?
The Wild Bird Fund now naming the pigeon appropriately Flamingo, and it believes the pigeon was died, possibly for a gender reveal, and it is hoping others don't put the other birds in the same risk.
Yeah, stop dying birds for gender reveals.
Yeah, I'm not a wildlife expert, but I think that's going to be a problem for them when they're out there in the natural world, right? Not to mention the fact that dye could be harmful for it.
Yeah. The gender reveal thing has gotten crazier and crazier. Yeah. Producer Sean, you just had a gender reveal with your girlfriend, Rachel. So what did you guys do?
We kept it simple. We just, you know, Isaac, her son, 7-year-old son, was the most important when it came to this gender reveal. Mm-hmm. So we just did something small. We got 3 cupcakes with blue frosting on the inside and just ate the cupcakes.
Was he excited? Isaac was excited.
He's super excited. Listen, we were very nervous at first. He didn't, you know, express he didn't want a brother, but ever since he found out, now he's like, he is so, like, it warms my heart. He's like, you know, everything about the baby. The other day, Rachel accidentally bumped into me, and he's like, guys, watch out for the baby.
Right, exactly.
I was like, God, this kid's going to be awesome.
You know, the gender reveal thing is funny because it was like never a big thing. With Hayden, my older daughter, she's almost 14.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as a gender reveal. You found out what you were having and then you just told everybody and that was the end of it. But then with Dakota, who's she's my 4-year-old, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
But early on, 4 years ago, we still did things for, like, where we popped balloons and it said if it was a boy or a girl. And this was the gender reveal for me.
Ready?
All right, Hayden, you ready to find out what you're having?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
What does this mean?
It's a girl.
Yeah, you're going to be a big sister and you're going to have a little sister. And Daddy, you are officially outnumbered a lot in this family.
Yeah.
And, you know, the balloon popped and the pink confetti came out and my husband was just like,
yeah.
Yeah. He was so, like, the video is, he's so disappointed. You know what? I'm going to repost that on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. If you just watch his face when the balloon explodes. And then I ask this. Everybody excited?
Yeah.
Silence. Not a word from my husband. Not a word.
You're right. I mean, before it was just a thing where, you know, you either found out or you didn't find out. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot more people didn't find out before then. But now it's like it has to be a whole event.
People have parties. You have gender reveal parties. And I'm like, what? Like, one of our bosses did the thing with the golf club, the golf ball, where you hit the golf ball, and if it's pink, then it's obviously a girl. If it's blue, it's a boy. And, like, to me, that's fine, too. But when you're having these things where you're lighting off fireworks and you're dying birds and all this stuff, it just seems like it's gone too far. This was in the news last week.
The pigeon was dyed, possibly for a gender reveal, and it is hoping others don't put the other birds in the same risk.
They found a pink pigeon. I think it was part of a gender reveal party. How terrible is that?
It is terrible. You know what? I mean, I understand there's a whole lot of pigeons out there, but so what? It's not cool what you're doing.
You know, but there are some unique ways to do a gender reveal. What did you do? 1-800-330-9999. Annie.
Okay, so it was not my gender reveal. I just have to share. It was my son is considered a semi-professional WWE-type wrestler.
Okay.
And so they had this huge match where they had about 8 guys in the ring, and it was called the Survivor Series Gender Match. It was a party. So it was like a battle royale in the middle of the ring, and whoever was left standing, they're all wearing pink or blue t-shirts. So my son ended up winning, and it was a boy. He was wearing a blue t-shirt. So that's how they did the gender reveal.
Megan, what'd you do for your gender reveal?
Well, it was over the summer, and I invited all my family over and told them to wear white shirts.
And then we actually like filled these water balloons with blue water so that when we threw it at each other, their shirts would be all blue to show that we were having a boy.
Except it was also a wet t-shirt contest.
Right. What a cool idea, except you ruined my shirt. I love this shirt. Man, you owe me a shirt.
I mean, you got to tell them so that you get like a Hanes undershirt, like a white shirt.
I wore matching shorts. Now you ruined this whole outfit. I mean, that's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea. How fun. Gina, what did you do for your gender reveal?
We waited until the child was born.
Wait, so you didn't tell anybody?
Our nurses didn't even tell us.
Oh, so you didn't know?
We didn't know.
Okay. I feel like a lot of people don't do that anymore. I feel like everybody usually knows, right? Good for you. Did you have to tell everybody to buy everything like in green or yellow?
Well, you know what? Like, I guess my house is like kind of sterile looking because everyone is like this like boho look. But I mean, black, white, you know, gray. I mean, she had a vibe. It was a girl. Like she had a thing going on. It caused people to like get really creative. But I mean, also like you're a newborn baby, like you're just going to be pooping on it anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Like,
right. Right. If the onesie's blue or pink, it doesn't matter. Right. And they grow out of it in 5 days. So
and nobody even knows the gender of the baby. And so they're like, what, one? So
yesterday was the first time that I saw a baby. Usually I can tell right away that I did not know if the baby was a boy or a girl.
Oh.
And I just didn't say a word because I was like, I remembered how upset I would get when somebody would call my girls a boy. Were you surprised when they said it's a girl, or did you like know in your heart? You know, like sometimes they say that, you know.
No, not really. I was surprised when they showed me. Because you can't really tell when they're born. But I feel like maybe mommy instincts kind of kicked in and I just kind of knew. Or maybe I'm lying and I didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that we could trick ourselves over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebecca, what did you do for your gender reveal?
Well, I had two boys, so I was kind of excited to do something a little bit different. So, and they love to whack stuff. So we got a piñata and put pink. Well, it was either going to be pink or blue candy inside, right? And then the boys got to kind of whack it with a stick until it opened up, and then ta-da!
Surprise! You got a new sister.
But it was still really, really fun and just kind of different. And it didn't explode anything or, like, harm nature in any way. So I felt good about that.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Natalie and Jake. Natalie, what's going on?
So we have a daughter, she's 9 years old, and she's always complaining about being cold at school. And so she's decided to bring a blanket to school, this older blanket that we've had and, you know, whatever, not a big deal. I don't see a problem with it. Well, recently we got an email from the teacher saying that the blanket is a distraction, quote unquote, and that if she's cold, she could just wear her jacket. And I don't see what the big deal is about just having her bring a blanket. I feel like I've seen worse things going in and out of the school doors. And that's just kind of where we are. Like, I don't think it's a big deal.
So you want to fight back, essentially, is what you're saying, and tell your daughter that she can do whatever she wants to do. And that will be it, basically. Whatever the school board puts up in front of you, we want to go ahead and you want to challenge that.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm guessing you don't agree, Jake. What's your side of this?
I just don't see it that that much of a big deal. The problem is that she was cold, not that she wanted to bring the blanket, right? So if she could wear a jacket or, you know, whatever to fix that, then why are we fighting the school on this? I don't know exactly what's going on in the classroom. Maybe the blanket is a distraction. I don't think this is a big deal to, like, go out of the way to have a huge fight over.
Did you ask the teacher why she can't have the blanket? I'm one of those people that, like, if the teacher says something, I don't even question it. I'm like, all right, that's what she said, and that's what goes. So I can understand, Natalie, where you're like, well, if she's freezing, why can't she have a blanket?
I mean, distraction is kind of a vague term, though. It encompasses quite a bit, right? So what's her answer to that?
Did you ask her, or have you said nothing yet?
We haven't said anything yet because before I feel comfortable saying anything, I want the both of us to be on the same page, and we're not on the same page.
Correct.
So.
9-year-old bringing a blanket to school. If the teacher's saying just wear a coat, I don't know what the big deal is. Like, tell her not to bring the blanket anymore. But yeah. I don't know.
I listen, I can definitely see the blanket being a problem. I mean, what happens? A kid walked by, trips on the blanket, you know, or they're hanging out and, you know, it's recess. Everybody wants to get under the blanket. Like, it's just a curious thing that people are going to talk about. And that's really all it takes, right? It only takes one person to go, well, why? How come she can have this and I can't have that?
And then
right?
Everybody's got blankets.
And then it's a problem and everybody's got blankets. And now it's a thing. And is it a fire hazard? I don't know, you know, so.
No, it's a sleepover.
Yeah. Well, that's not school either way. I mean, that would be the point of that, right, Natalie? So, I mean, we kind of do ourselves in with that argument.
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Natalie. What's the big deal in just responding and saying, why can't she have the blanket if she's cold in the classroom, and seeing what the response is? But you may see Jake's side, too, which I fully understand is, like, clearly they have their reasons. All she's saying is, please have your daughter stop bringing the blanket. They're not saying have her freeze. They're saying she can wear her coat. You just back off. Okay. Thank you. And let it be.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Says a lot about what kind of a parent you are. So Natalie and Jake, they have a daughter who's 9 years old. They get an email home. Their daughter had been bringing in a giant blanket that she wrapped around herself because she's always been cold in the classroom lately.
Yeah.
And the email says, I'm sorry, can you please have your daughter stop bringing the blanket to school? It's a distraction. Natalie immediately wants to question the teacher and say, why? Why? She's cold. She wants to bring a blanket. What's the big deal?
Right.
But Dad, Jake, is like, if the teacher says this, then let it go.
Well, I think the main problem and the point that Jake is making is, listen, they said that she can wear a coat. So if the problem is that she's actually cold, let's just solve the problem and not be the distraction. You know, the main thing is that everybody thinks that they're an exception, right? And so that creates chaos, basically, in these situations. That's why there's rules. There's rules for a reason to keep things orderly.
But yeah, but Natalie disagrees. She's like, I don't see what's wrong with questioning why she can't have it. Like, what's the big deal? It's a blanket we're talking about. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I'm a teacher. So I am an elementary school teacher. And I also see that it's a safety concern. Like they said before, the kids can trip on it. Other kids will start to follow suit. They'll want to bring their blankets. And if the teacher says, hey, the child can wear the coat, it's the same effect as the blanket. Why not just let them bring the coat and cause less distraction?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Natalie and Jake's 9-year-old daughter, she's been cold at school, so she started bringing a big blanket. She wraps herself in the blanket in the classroom. They get an email from the teacher, and the teacher says, can you please have her stop bringing the blanket? It's a distraction. Natalie's first reaction is, why? What's the big deal? Let her have the blanket if she's cold. Why are you making a big deal out of this? But Jake disagrees.
I mean, you're walking down the hallway. You're the principal, right? You've got a school full of hundreds of kids and one has a blanket. You walk by, one is dressed like a caterpillar and everybody else is a regular student. I mean, there's a reason why exceptions aren't typically made in settings like this. Jake just says, listen, if she can wear her coat, it solves the problem anyways. If she's just cold, what's the big deal? Why are we going to make a big deal out of this?
Natalie doesn't see what the big problem is. It's just saying, hey, why? Why is it a distraction? If she's cold, then what's the big deal? But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Shannon, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. You cannot bring a blanket to school. I'm going to say, what if everybody did that? I think the bigger issue would be to call what's in charge and figure out why it's cold in the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we work in a room where the climate control is always out of whack, too. And I remember at school on days when it was hot, super, super hot, and then other days it'd be cold. Like, you know, there's one thermostat somewhere and it always seems to be screwed up. But you're right.
Jessica, whose side are you on?
Well, I understand where the school's coming from, but one up them. What about like a really large, like oversized scarf? Like I wear those at work sometimes and like I can't see that being a distraction.
Yeah, like a poncho or a shawl or a giant scarf.
Yeah, right. Center of school with that instead. So what are they going
to
say?
I mean, to me, that's part of your coat. Why not? Right? Yeah. You can't say anything about that.
Right. Why not?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Gennaro, and I am on the husband's side. I wish that the mother would rethink this. This is one of the reasons why kids don't respect teachers. And when a parent is going against what a teacher is saying, it turns into the kid having a problem with it. I suggest they say to the teacher that maybe they have a fourth day so all the kids can bring blankets from the school. And if there's truly a problem with the heating system, they need to go to the Board of Education, not the teacher.
I love the idea of making blanket forts in your classroom.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jake, our audience agreed with you. I think any pushback, and most people agreed, just back off. Clearly there's a reason or she wouldn't have sent the email in the first place. And they're not saying let her freeze. They're saying she can wear her coat. So that should be reason enough to let it go and tell your daughter she can't wear the blanket anymore.
Yeah, that's how I see it. Like, I don't think we need to make this a big deal. We could just say, all right, well, as long as you're not freezing, the problem is solved. So,
Natalie, I get it. You know, your daughter complains about being cold. You feel problem solved here at the same time. Like, you know, there's a policy, I'm sure, for whatever reason. And unless you're going to be handing out blankets to everybody in the school, you know, that's kind of the response that I think that I would hear from a teacher. But just going to have to deal with it, I guess.
I mean, I guess so. My daughter's really smart, so if she feels like a jacket is not sufficient and she wants to bring a blanket, I don't know, maybe it's a security blanket, but whatever. We'll talk about it and deal with it, and I'm not trying to get my panties off in a knot. I just want my kids to be happy and safe.
Yeah. All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,200. Brett, you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, you got it. Good luck, Brett.
All right, Brett. Now, here's the truth. I don't know if I made these questions too easy today, so let's see how you do. It's five questions.
So.
I hope so. Let's see. Raven's out of the room. We're going to see how many you get right. All you need to do is get more right than Raven. If it's a tie, it goes to him, though. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, Guinness verified that a dog in Portugal named Bobby is now 30 years old and 268 days, making him the oldest dog ever. What was the name of Dorothy's dog in Wizard of Oz?
Toto.
Number two, Lourdes Leon was denied entrance to the Marc Jacobs fashion show because she showed up late, even though she was named the face of the brand in 2021. Who is Lourdes's mom?
I don't know that one.
Number three, Madonna introduced Sam Smith and Kim Petras last night at the Grammys, and the internet said she looked unrecognizable. What's the name of Madonna's upcoming tour?
Oh, I have no idea.
Number four, Beyonce won 4 Grammys last night, which means she now holds the title for the most Grammys of all time, but she didn't win the big award for Album of the Night. Who won that?
Harry Styles.
At number five, Viola Davis also had a special night because she received a Grammy for Best Audiobook for her memoir, Finding Me, and that makes her an EGOT. What does the T in EGOT stand for?
Oh, man. I have no idea.
All right, Brett, I guess I didn't make these too easy. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
No. 2 out of 5 for Brett.
Not great. $1,200. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Guinness verified that a dog in Portugal named Bobby is now 30 years and 268 days old, making him the oldest dog ever.
Wow.
What is the name of Dorothy's dog in Wizard of Oz?
Toto.
Right. Number two, Lourdes Leon was denied entrance to the Marc Jacobs fashion show because she showed up late, even though she was named the face of the brand in 2021. Who's her mom?
That's Madonna.
Madonna is correct. Number three, speaking of Madonna, she introduced Sam Smith and Kim Petras last night at the Grammys, and the internet said she looked unrecognizable.
Mm.
What's the name of her upcoming tour?
It's the Celebrations Tour, right?
Yep. Number four, Beyonce won 4 Grammys last night, which means she now holds the title for the most Grammys of all time. But she didn't win the big award for Album of the Year. Who won that?
Album of the Year was Harry Styles.
Correct. And number five, Viola Davis also had a special night because she received a Grammy for Best Audiobook for her memoir, Finding Me, making her an EGOT. What does the T in EGOT stand for?
Tony's.
That's right. EGOT means you won all the big awards, the Emmys, the Grammys, an Oscar, and a Tony. I'm sorry, Brett. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Brett, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. $1,300 tomorrow, Anna. Enjoy that shirt, Brett.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.